agree word for word with a portion of Psalm 136 that Bill read for us here. Each of these psalms begins, or as in the case of Psalm 118, somewhere about the midpoint, says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because he has kept my pantry full of crackers and bologna." That wasn't it, was it? "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because I have enough gas to get through this week." That wasn't it either, was it? He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good."
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast that you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Good morning. As the story was told to me, an atheist went for a walk in the woods today, no reference to Bill and his walking in the woods, just saying. An atheist went for a walk in the woods one day and unfortunately encountered a large, hungry grizzly bear. And he ran and he ran, and he was exhausted, and seeing that he could not outrun the bear, he threw himself down on the ground, and in that last moment of terror and confusion decided that perhaps he was not so firmly attached to atheism after all. And he wanted to pray, but he hadn't ever prayed. And he didn't know exactly what God wanted to hear, and it was kind of a stressful moment, and so he just belted out the first thing he could think of, and he said, "God, make this bear a Christian bear." And the bear stopped, and he looked down at the man, looked up to the heavens, and he looked at the man again, and the bear said, "Oh Lord, for this meal I'm about to receive, may I be..." That's the way it was told to me anyhow. If we're going to take something from that, I suppose I would take this. In any situation, there may be people on one side of it who are lifting up thanks and praises to God, and people on the other side of the same situation who feel very little inclination to do the same. At the end of any long, miserable, bloody war, believers on the side of the victors may very well be thanking God for having led them through this conflict to its glorious resolution, while believers on the losing side may well be crying out in the same full sincerity of heart, "Oh God, why did you let this happen to us?" And they all believe in the same God. And they all participated in the same war. But they may not feel equally thankful. If you were here a few weeks ago on Veterans Day when I was preaching from the book of Zechariah and you heard what I think about the four horsemen and war and all that, you know that I believe that war is one of the arenas in which God advances his will, and this is good, and still in the midst of it, we can find it problematic. We need to find more enduring reasons for thankfulness. Now, I say this looking at a congregation of people who I know probably have very little trouble being thankful because God has been so good to us. Amen? I mean, I got food to eat, and I got a soft bed to sleep on, and I got a warm house to stay in, and I got a truck that runs and gets me around wherever I'm going. I've got a good wife. I've got children who love me. I have a congregation that supports me. God has been good to me. God been good to you? And so it's pretty easy. Pretty easy most of the time. And yet I want to tell you that if stuff is the measure or the root of our thankfulness, there is this problem. Stuff is not enduring. And stuff is not always equally distributed either. I have some money in the bank, but if Mark has $100 more in the bank than I have in the bank, should Mark be $100 worth more thankful than I am? And if Alan has $100 less in the bank, should Alan be $100 worth less thankful than I am and $200 worth less thankful than Mark? Is that the way it works? And it's all going away anyway. You know, I've owned a lot of stuff in my life. Some of it is no more. How many of you have owned stuff that is no more? And all the stuff I have now will someday be no more. Rust and dust going the way. If this is the basis for my thankfulness to God, I have these problems and I need a more enduring cause for thanksgiving. First verse of Psalm 106 and the first verse of Psalm 107 and the first verse of Psalm 108 and the 29th verse of Psalm 118. Agree word for word with a portion of Psalm 136 that Bill read for us here. Each of these psalms begins, or as in the case of Psalm 118, somewhere about the midpoint, says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because He has kept my pantry full of crackers and bologna." That wasn't it, was it? "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because I have enough gas to get through this week." That wasn't it either, was it? Said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Let me just ask you, is God good? When is God good? All the time. And all the time, God is good. On the weeks when I struggle, God is as good as on the weeks when I don't. On the days when I am personally satisfied with my circumstances, God is as good as on the days when I am not. Here's the beginning. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." And boy, if you don't think that's important, think what it would be to live like the pagans who believe that their gods are vindictive and hostile. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." This Psalm 136 adds to this thought. It was a very important psalm to the Old Testament Israelites. They used it, they recited it on their Day of Tabernacles, which is the closest equivalent to our season of Thanksgiving that they had. And you have to understand that they didn't have scripture as readily available as we did. Writing was a laborious and expensive process. And if a tabernacle, equivalent to what we would call a congregation of the church, if a tabernacle had one scroll that contained the works of one of the Old Testament prophets, or maybe even just part of the work of one of the big ones like Isaiah or Jeremiah, boy, they considered themselves fortunate. But I guarantee you that none of the people out there had one to read along with. People just didn't own them. So they memorized scripture. They memorized lots of scripture. I've been, as you know, trying to stress with our young people, to get them to memorize Scripture. If it takes handing out prizes to all of you, I'd do that too. But it would be great if we memorized Scripture. So this morning, you're going to memorize half of the 136th Psalm. Yes, you are. And you're going to do it quickly. You do it quickly enough that we can read it together, and I'll have the book and you won't. Here we go. Here's the part you have to memorize. His mercy endureth forever. That's it. I was all King James there because that's easy. You ready? His mercy endureth forever. That's half of the 136th Psalm. I'm going to read the other half. But every time I point to you, at the end of every single verse in the Psalm, you are going to say, very good. You're going to get more comfortable at it, because you're going to say it several times. All this requires is that I quit flipping over, because I don't have my part memorized. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For give thanks to the God of gods. For give thanks to the Lord of lords. For to him who alone does great wonders. For to him who made the heavens by his skill. For to him who spread out the earth above the waters. For to him who made the great lights. For the sun to rule the day. For the moon and the stars to rule by night. For to him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn. For and brought Israel out of the midst of Egypt. For with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. For to him who divided the Red Sea asunder. For and made Israel to pass through the midst of it. For but he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. For about halfway. To him who led his people through the wilderness. For to him who smote great kings. For and slew mighty kings. For Sihon, king of the Amorites. For and Og, the king of Bashan. For and gave their land as a heritage. For even a heritage to Israel, his servants. For who remembered us in our low estate. For and has rescued us from our adversaries. For who gives food to all flesh. For O give thanks to the God of heaven. For I told you you'd memorize it. this goodness, this enduring mercy, this loving kindness, if you have a different version of God's. The psalmist divides it into four thoughts. And the first thought, as expressed in the verses 4 to 9, is that God is good because He made everything you see. And He made you. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Be thankful to God. Lift up praises to your Creator because He is your Creator, because He made you and He made everything, and without Him nothing is, for He made it all. Do you know what is the overwhelming number one reason that people commit suicide? It is a sense of meaninglessness. They perceive life and living have no purpose. So why bother? And if you and everything you know all came from nothing and is racing right back to nothing, what meaning is there? If it is all the result of some unintended, unpurposed, arbitrary, cosmic accident, and we are all just spilled milk or stardust, take your pick, and it will all be consumed in a great fiery cataclysm, and nothing will remain. If it is just that in this arbitrary system the strong eat better and the weak eat less and the weakest perish, and there is no other justice or purpose or meaning, you can begin to understand the feelings of those who take their own lives. I tell you that we are preserved from that lonely despair because we know that God is good and that He created everything. And in His goodness, He has a good plan for His creation. And He works that plan. And your life has meaning. And your times have meaning. And your family serves a purpose. And it is none of it accidental. We know all this because God is good and He is the Creator, and His mercy endureth forever. Second thought about God's goodness is expressed in verses 10 to 17. And it goes like this: "Oh, give thanks to God, for He is the judge of all the earth." And He is not an apathetic, uninvolved, disinterested judge. He's an active, hands-on judge. And He will on this day burn Sodom and Gomorrah to oblivion because He is judge. And He will on this day drown the Egyptian army by their thousands in the bed of the Red Sea because he is a judge. And he will on another day snuff out Og and Sihon or any other powerful ruler because he is a judge. And he has on a day before any of those acts wiped out the entire population of the earth, barring only 8 people, in the great flood of Noah, because he is a judge. Now, a lot of people find a disconnect here. God is good and merciful, and how does he show it? By killing thousands. God is good and merciful. Just look at all those dead Egyptians, including the little babies counted among the firstborn. God is good and merciful. I can tell by the number of people he has reduced to ashes. Some people see a disconnect there. And to the extent that we appreciate God's acts as judge, they say that we are bloodthirsty and vindictive in our worship of our barbaric God. So why would the psalmist include this among the evidences of God's goodness and mercy, his everlasting, eternal mercy, for which we should lift up thanks? And I will tell you why. Because we are circling the drain. How many of you look around and conclude that the world stinks? And if I ask you, is it God's fault or is it our fault? How would you answer? Well, it's our fault. See, there have been 2 more mass shootings in this season leading up to Thanksgiving. And it was us people who picked up the guns and walked into a place where everybody else was unarmed and helpless and began to mow them down. Human trafficking continues alive and well, and it is us people who manage that inhumane system. How many people will be shot in Chicago this weekend? And who will pull the trigger? We will. We are circling the drain. And God reaches out in his judgment and intercedes to give us more time, an extended opportunity to repent and to do better. The big example is just this one. I've mentioned it, the flood of Noah. At that time, the earth was down to, of whatever its population amounted to, just 1 righteous individual. If God had not acted in 1 more generation after the death of Noah, how many of you suspect that the number of righteous individuals would have been 0, and we would be down the drain. Beasts ready to perish. But because of his judgment, you and I have an opportunity to become something better. If God turned a blind eye to all the terrible things that we did and just let us go our own way, we would certainly go our own way. And there is a way that seems right to man, but I can tell you where it leads. And it is eternal condemnation in hell. If God did not intercede with these smaller judgments, we would go down the drain to the bigger one every last one of us. God is good. He is the maker of all. And He judges in righteousness. His mercy endureth forever. Third thought in the psalm, verses 18 to 22. I can get through this one quicker. God is the victor. God wins. God always wins. And God will ultimately win. We often feel that we are surrounded by circumstances that inspire despair, but we have this knowledge: God wins. If you've read the book of Revelation, whatever other questions it may raise for you, you should have this certainty: God wins. And when He wins, it is good news for those who have responded to His call. Oh, give thanks to God, for He is good. He is the creator of all. He is the righteous judge. He is the victor. His mercy endureth forever. Fourth and last few verses of Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to God, for He is our friend in need. For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Who will redeem us from the hand of the oppressor? God will, because He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Who gives us the sustenance on which to survive? God does. It says He gives food to all flesh. This is true. I realize there's a lot of hunger on the planet Earth. That's been a continuing problem for a long time, and I haven't checked to see many years ago when I tried to keep up with these statistics. The number were that 40,000 children a day starve to death in the world. I don't know if that's gotten better or worse, but that was a terrible, terrible number. 40,000 children a day starve to death. And how many here believe that the problem is that the creation God gave us won't produce enough food for all the people? That isn't it. The earth would feed us all, and many times over, sin causes starvation. As resources are hoarded by those at the top, and everybody else in Venezuela is on a crash diet. I heard it last week, what, the average adult in Venezuela lost 14 pounds last year? And they didn't have the pounds I have to be losing 14. Sin causes starvation. Truck plane loads of supplies rot on the tarmac in Haiti because a corrupt government will not allow for its distribution. Sin causes all these things. God gave us a world that will feed us, for He gives food to all flesh, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And on the last day, whether it be the last day of my life or the last day, on the last day, you know, I'm doing okay. I get around okay, but I look back and I can tell you that compared to 10 years ago, I'm just barely ambulatory. And I know which way things are headed. I have seen this story before. I know where I'm headed. And on the last day, whether it be my last day How many of you are grateful for your nice, comfy bed and recliner and all that, where you can lay down? And how many of you already find that no bed is as comfortable as beds used to be? And before the end, there will be no comfort. Pain increases. Joints decay. We have seen this story before. And on my last day, Michael and I just moved into the new house a little while back. Jim asked me just recently, Jim Shepherd, he was in the 8 o'clock service, but he asked me this weekend, he said, "Have you gotten used to sleeping above ground yet?" And I thought, "What are you talking about?" He meant that we now have a bedroom on an upstairs. So it took me a while to figure out what he meant. And I told him, I said, "Honestly, I hadn't given it a thought. It felt just like sleeping in the old bedroom on the ground floor, same bed. But there is this difference. When I want to go to bed, I got to go up a flight of stairs. And I can still do that, but I can tell you that for the last few years of his life, my father could no sooner have climbed those stairs than he could have flown to the moon. And on the last day, be it my last day, or if he comes quickly, be it the last day, God will reach out his hand and he will take hold of me and he will lead me home. For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." If you have not established a relationship with your Creator, if you have not been delivered from his righteous judgment, if you are not in a position where you will benefit from his coming victory, if you are not this day his friend, just know that all of these things can be true for you. And he is ready and willing for them to be true.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.